I am so excited that you're here this morning. Thank you for coming on such a beautiful, beautiful day. And I'm here today because I really believe that I have a word today that's going to be very, very helpful for you. If you'll take this word home with you and you put this word into action, I believe it can make a big, big difference in your life, okay? I want to let you know that my thoughts today and what we're trying to do is take our thoughts from the reading. If you're visiting with us, we as a church right now are on a 40-day campaign called Draw the Circle, the 40-day prayer challenge. We have sold over 90 of these books to different people. Some of the books have gone to people even outside of our church. Very exciting to hear what God's doing. Different people will text me, and they'll text me something I know that they read that day because I read it myself. Oh, they're good. They're reading. That's exciting. And by the way, tomorrow, because we only read Monday through Friday, tomorrow we're on day 16. And I want to give you a heads up. Don't look ahead till tomorrow morning. But actually tomorrow is, because I've read the book before, tomorrow is probably one of my top five readings in the book. And it's called Lord, Surprise Me. And I can't wait for you to read it tomorrow. So how many people promise not to do that right now at church, okay? So surprise me, Lord. That's what Heather and I, that's become a part of our mantra. We look at each other once in a while and say, Lord, surprise us. And especially after God does something real fun in our lives, we kind of giggle at each other and say, God, you surprised us. So that's a great place to live, by the way. Amen? Very cool place. But today what I'm going to do is I'm going to share from reading number 14, day 14. And I love it because the title of the chapter is called Speak to the Mountain. Speak to the Mountain. Okay? And I love this chapter because in the chapter, the author, which is Mark, he challenges the reader that there's times that we need to quit playing defense. And we need to start doing what? Playing offense. I love that. There's times that we need to quit being passive. And there's times that we just need to get downright aggressive. I love that picture in my mind of not being defensive, but being offensive, being aggressive. And he says in the book, because it's a book of prayer, he says one of the primary ways that we can get offensive, how we can take the offenses through what? Bending our knees and become people of prayer. Meaning that when you have something going on in your life, instead of being negative, complaining, instead of just saying, well, whatever will be, he's saying, no, you have a great God in heaven, a great Father who's a good, good Father, and he wants you to come to him in an offensive way and say, God, I pray for your help in these situations. Amen? How many people know God answers prayer? How many people believe God answers prayer? Amen. Let me just ask you this question, totally unrelated to the sermon. If you really believe God answers prayer, what is one thing that you would continue to pray for until you saw it happen? Good thing to write in your journal this week, okay? Write that down. Anyway, Mark concludes the chapter, and he challenges us to pray. If you read the chapter, he challenges us to pray for the Pharaohs in our life. Everybody say Pharaoh. Okay. So what's he talking about there? He's talking about you need to pray for those difficult people in your life. Those difficult people that are keeping you from moving on with God. Those difficult people that are keeping you from God's best in your life. Okay? Let me ask you a personal question. How many people have difficult people in your life? Well, that's good. Not many. You guys are great. Okay? By the way, how many people know difficult people aren't always a bad thing? Are you hearing me this morning? Difficult people, if you handle them correctly, can be a way that God brings growth in your life. Amen? God can put, if you pray, Lord, help me to grow more loving, he's probably going to put somebody in your life that's not real loving. That's just the way God works. So that was the whole thought this week, is pray for that Pharaoh, pray for that difficult person. And what I want to do right now in the time that we have remaining, I want to go to day 14, and I want to show you the last page of my book, day 14. I sat right over here. I put a chair there during the week. I put a chair over by the window. And I read day 14. And right when I got done reading day 14, God started to speak to me. A whole bunch of different thoughts came to my mind. And so what I did is I got out my pen and I began to write out the things that God was laying on my heart. And as I was writing those things out, I said, okay, Lord, those are the things that I believe that we need to share today in the service. So what you're going to hear today are the thoughts that God shared with me on the back, the last page of that day 14 reading, okay? And in order to do that effectively, what I need to do is I need to share with you a very brief history lesson. How many people like history? I love history because if we're smart, we can do what? We can learn from history. We can learn from other people's successes. We can learn from other people's failures. It's important that we learn, okay? So what I want to do today, if you have a Bible, if you don't worry about it. It's going to be on the screen. But if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus is one of my favorite books. It's the second book of the Bible. Genesis, everybody say Exodus, okay? That's where we're going to be looking today. In Exodus chapter 1, we're introduced to a people group. And the people group that we're introduced to are people called the Israelites. They're also called what? The children of Israel. Don't get that confused. Those are interchangeable terms. Israelites, children of Israel. And these were God's chosen people. How many people remember the names Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Well, these are the ancestors of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are the people that God gave promises to, okay? But we read in chapter 1, this is what we read. We read in chapter 1 that the Egyptians, who were a negative people, they made the Israelites their slaves. They made them slaves, okay, under the rule of Pharaoh. They made them slaves. And this wasn't a short-term thing. The Bible actually records that God's people were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. Wow. 400 years, God's people in slavery, okay? Chapter 2, if you have your Bible open, you can just skim the chapter. Chapter 2, something happens. There's a change on the horizon. Chapter 2, and I want to read from chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. That's going to be on the screen. Follow along with me. It says, years passed, and the king of Egypt died, but the Israelites continued to groan. Everybody groan. Groan. They continued to groan under the burden of slavery. And check out what they did. Read these four words together. They cried out for help. That's actually five words. Let's all do that again. They cried out for help. We can learn something there today. When you're in a difficult place, it's very appropriate to cry out for help. How many people have ever cried out for help? Pastoring a church, this is a weekly routine. You cry out to God for help, okay? And this is the part I love. Their cry rose up to who? To God. God heard their cry, it rose up to him. God heard their groaning, and he remembered the covenant promise that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. By the way, the promise is that they would move into a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a land of provision, a land of blessing, the promised land. And he looked on the people of Israel. And I think this is one of the most profound statements in the Bible. He looked down on the people of Israel and he knew that it was time to act. God knows his people are in slavery. They cry out to help. He remembers his covenant with his people. And I love it. He chooses to act at that moment in time. God says, okay, it's time for me to do something. It's time for something to change, okay? So what did God do? God responded to the cries of his people. And what he did is he saw somebody out in the wilderness, out in the desert, and he appeared to this person in a burning bush. How many people know that story? And the guy's name is who? Everybody say Moses. It's an amazing story. Moses is out there tending the sheep in the wilderness. He sees a burning bush on fire, but the amazing thing is the bush isn't being consumed. The bush begins to speak. God is speaking through the burning bush to Moses. It's a very amazing, amazing story. And he gives Moses this responsibility that you're going to be the deliverer of my people. Deliverer. I want you to remember that word. And his primary responsibility was going to be very simple. You're going to take the children of Israel from their current reality. You're going to take them over here to where I want them to be. I want to make sure you're seeing these signs clearly today because we're going to apply these to you. God saying, Moses, you're the man. You're the deliverer. I heard my people crying in the wilderness. This is their current reality. They're in slavery. But Moses, I have called you for such a time as this, and I want you to lead my people to where I want them to be, a place of promise, a place of provision, a place where there's milk and honey. I mean, it's just a great place to be, okay? So that's what's going on here. So what Moses had to do, and he didn't want this job at all. he actually tried to talk God out of this job. And that is that Moses had to go before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He had to go before the king of Egypt. By the way, Pharaoh, actually after the story, represents the enemy, the devil. And I want you to remember that too. So part of his assignment is you're going to go before Pharaoh. And here's the message I want you to give to Pharaoh. Let's look at the message. Next slide. Everybody say that together. Let my people go. Moses, you have a simple job. Just go and stand before Pharaoh as my representative, as my deliverer, and just give them the message, let my people go. That's in Exodus 5:1. So the message is, let my people go from where they're at in slavery, because that's not my goal for their life. That's not my heart for their life. My heart is that they would come to this new place called freedom, liberty. Okay? So how do you think Pharaoh responded to Moses? Does anybody know the story? Well, it wasn't very well received. It's not like he said, of course, if that's what you want, Moses, just let the people go. No, that's not like that. There was a lot of resistance. Actually, Pharaoh responds to Moses with sarcasm. And here's the question, how he responds. Is that so? So that's Pharaoh's response to let my people go. Is that so? Like he's being sarcastic. Oh, you really think that's going to happen? You really think I'm going to let go of my workforce? No, you really think so? You think that's really going to happen? So I want you to see, what I want you to see in this history lesson is that Moses and the children of Israel were facing strong opposition. By the way, how many people have ever faced strong opposition before? Several of us. So what happens is God intervenes. And what he does is, if you know the story, he sends, what, 10 plagues. And these plagues are to demonstrate who's the true God of the world. These are to demonstrate that, hey, Pharaoh, you will change your mind if I have my way. So he sends the 10 plagues. Let me review the 10 plagues. First of all, there was blood in the water. Then number two, there were frogs. How many people that know that would be kind of creepy, frogs everywhere? One that I'm surprised he didn't send was mosquitoes, but we'll talk about that later, okay? Gnats, flies. Day five, there was the death of all the livestock. The sixth one, God sent hail. There was hail all over Egypt. Seventh one, God sent these boils. Boils were coming all over people. Then there were locusts that were so thick that people couldn't even see. And then the one that would have freaked me out the most. How many people are afraid of the dark? I'm not just talking a little dark. I mean, total darkness falls upon the land. And then 10th and final, the one that's going to break the camel's back, the one that's finally going to convince Pharaoh that he should listen and let my people go. Does anyone know what that is? Yes, you're right. The death of the firstborn. Okay? I want to let you know that happened one night, that the death angel came throughout Egypt and the firstborn were taken. They were killed, the children of Egypt. And there was crying, there was wailing and crying. I mean, could you imagine if that came into your house, the firstborn? And there was wailing and crying. It was a very miserable, awful night. And finally, Pharaoh changes his mind. I want you to read Exodus 12, 31 through 31, 31 through 33. Look at it on the screen. That night, Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the night. Everybody say these two words together. Get out. Get out, he ordered. Leave my people and take the rest of the Israelites with you. Go and worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks, take your herds, as you said, and be gone. And I love this line. I think this is comical. Go, but bless me as you go. I think he realizes that the God you serve, Moses, is truly above all else. May you bless me as you go. All the Egyptians joined and they urged the people of Israel to get out of the land as quickly as possible, for they thought if they stay, we will surely all die. So what I want you to see right now is that Pharaoh finally steps out of the way, which opens the door. Follow with me. We're not going to be long today. It opens the door for the children of Israel to go from where? Everybody say slavery. To where? Freedom. When Pharaoh says go, the door is opened and a journey begins. A journey where they can begin to move into God's will, where they can begin to walk in freedom. So that's the history lesson. I want you to listen to the application here today. Is everybody willing to give me like 8 more minutes? Say, you betcha. If that's the case, we're going to be out here as early as we've ever been before. What I want to do today is I want to share with you a lesson. And to help you with the lesson, we're going to refer to the two posters. Because I think these two posters represent every single person at one time or another. And I would even say this, these posters represent several of us here even today. And I'm so thankful that you're here today to hear this message. Number one poster is over here. It says our current reality. That's all of us. You have a current reality. You're here today. You're in a place. This is your current reality. This is where you're at today. Where you're at today is a result of the choices that you have made. You can't blame your mom. You can't blame your daddy. But they're the result of the choices that you have made over the years, over the months, over the weeks. That's your current reality. Okay? Your current reality. What was the current reality of the Israelites? They were in what? Everybody say it. Slavery, bondage. That was their current reality. You and me have a current reality. Can everybody just say, I got you? That's your current reality. But over here on your left, my right, where God wants you to be. Where God wants you to be. I want to make it very clear today, if you're over here and you're living in slavery, if you're living in bondage, I want to let you know that's not God's will, but I believe that God's will for every single person is to be over here in a place of freedom. How many people know it's the enemy's agenda to do 3 things? Kill, everybody join with me, steal, and destroy. Jesus came that we might have what? Life. And life what? Abundantly. Totally the opposite of what most people in the world think. They think, well, this is the good place to live, in bondage. Oh, Jesus, really? That's no fun. This is where you want to be. Does everybody hear me? God wants you and me to be free. But here's the thing, and listen very closely. Listen, please listen. Here's the thing that I've discovered. Many times there's a gap between these two places in our lives. There's a gap. There's something that's keeping us from where we're at today to where God wants us to be. And I want to let you know that thing we can call Pharaoh. We all have a Pharaoh in our life that's keeping us from God's best, that's keeping us from moving forward, keeping us from walking in that place of God's wonderful provision and joy and peace. There's that Pharaoh. And when I say Pharaoh, I'm not talking about that guy that was living thousands of years ago in Egypt. I'm not talking about him, but what I'm talking about, we all have a Pharaoh. And that Pharaoh may be it could be 101 different things. Your Pharaoh may be a hurt. It may be a habit. It may be a hang-up that you have in your life that's keeping you as a slave when God wants you to be free. It could be a relationship. There could be a person in your life that's keeping you stuck over here in slavery when God wants you to be over here in freedom. May I say something very delicate this morning? I'm not talking about your spouse either. If that's the case, you two need to work this out together. Does everybody hear me? Together. I'm talking about that negative friendship. I'm talking about that negative, what, maybe it's an employee or whatever, but there's a person in your life, a Pharaoh in your life, that's keeping you trapped in over here when God wants you to be in freedom. That happens to me. I have negative people in my life. That when I hang out with them, there's this negativity. It keeps me trapped, backed in this old way when God says, Mike, you might need to break some ranks and get over here and move forward. Your Pharaoh may be fear. You're fearful. God, I can't actually go over there. There's no way I could. You're fearful. You're trapped in your current reality because you're fearful of taking the steps necessary to move forward. It may be doubt. God, I doubt that you even have anything good for me in my life. It may be doubt, and you're just so full of doubt. You're so full of unbelief. Oh, God, this is what you have. This is the way it's just always going to be. This is just the way it's always going to be. And you doubt that God has a better place for you. I would say there's probably a few people in this room today, you even doubt that God has something even greater than you can even imagine or think. Here's a big one. Your Pharaoh may be, listen carefully, your Pharaoh may be disobedience. You're trapped in slavery because you're disobedient to God. God's saying, hey, you need to forgive that person. You need to forgive that person that hurt you a long time ago. And you're doubting and you're being disobedient. What's happening? It's keeping you in your current reality. And God's saying, no, would you please seek forgiveness? Make things right so you can move over here and be in this place that I have for you where there's peace, where there's joy, where there's my provision. For some of you, and I'll be very blunt, I'll be very just straight out today, you may be disobeying God and not giving and tithing. And I want to let you know as your pastor, that can keep you trapped in a current reality and keep you from moving out to where God wants you to be, where you have financial freedom, where you no longer have that stronghold of money in your life. There's so many things that we can say. We have pharaohs in our life. Your pharaoh might be just your stinking attitude. You just have a bad attitude and it's keeping you trapped. It's keeping you trapped. So what do we need to do? By the way, I have pharaohs in my life. We all do. What do we need to do? We need to follow the example of what Mark says. We need to quit playing defense. And we need to do what? We need to start playing offense. We need to get aggressive. And we need to begin to follow the example of the children of Israel. What did they do in chapter 2? It says they did what? They cried out to God for help. If you're over here today in slavery, your slavery may be spiritual, that you're just a slave to sin. You've never asked Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of your sins. You need to cry out to God. We need to cry out for help. And how many people know that when we cry out for God, for help, God does what? He sends a deliverer. And the deliverer he sends is not Moses, amen? But he sends one that Hebrews 11 says is far greater than Moses. He sends who? Who? He sends his son who? Jesus Christ. And Jesus comes and he helps us to get the victory in our lives so that we can move from current reality to this place where God wants us to be. How many people today are thankful that we have a deliverer? Amen?